We come this morning to our final in the series on Romans, a text from the first chapter and from the last chapter. And I remind you that what you're about to hear is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. He speaks this morning. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Father, as we come to this conclusion, I ask for, Lord, an abundant anointing of your Holy Spirit. Would you pour out your Spirit on your word, on the preaching of it, the hearing of it, the believing of it, the responding and obeying. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you've had that experience of reading a really great book that you just really enjoyed, that you were really into, and you get to the end of it, and you sort of feel, shucks. It's over. You know, you're losing a friend or something like that. I have some of that feeling here coming to the end of Romans. 4 years ago, when I started this journey with you into this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in the church in Rome, I shared with you how daunting it seemed to me. Romans is often called the Mount Everest of the books in the Bible. And that's what it felt to me like, climbing Mount Everest. I shared with you that I had waited 40 years to preach this letter. And over these past 4 years, I have come across a number of other pastors who have felt the same and have done the same. They have waited to toward the end of their ministries to preach Romans. It's interesting that Paul himself was preaching the gospel for 20 years before he wrote this masterpiece of a summary of the gospel. Now, even though we're coming to the end of this series on Romans, may we never come to the end of our reading it and being influenced by it. I urge you to read it again and again and again. I come this morning with two reasons for this urgent plea to read the book of Romans. You can read the whole thing in about an hour and a half. Or you can listen to it, play it while you're driving to work. My dear friend Tim Bailey, Jonathan's grandfather, he listened to it while he mowed the yard. He has a big yard, and he could listen to the whole thing in that time. And he did that for 2 or 3 years before he preached it. So I commend it to you, first of all. This letter is written by a man who is utterly gripped by the gospel. His own life was radically changed by the gospel. He was saved and set apart for the gospel, for God's sake and for the gospel's sake. And as he was so radically changed. So were the lives of those who heard him proclaiming the gospel. And so have been the lives of countless millions who have come under its influence since then. This one book of the Bible has had greater impact and greater influence on the history of the church and the history of Christianity and even in the world, more than any other book written. John Chrysostom, who was the Archbishop of Constantinople around 400, he had someone read it to him out loud twice a week. And Augustine, one of the greatest of the early church fathers, he traces his conversion to the book of Romans, and specifically to Romans 13:13, when God got his attention. Reading Romans 1:17, Martin Luther finally grasped the truth that God justifies us to himself by sheer grace, by sheer mercy, through faith alone, not through all the works he was trying to do to earn God's favor. This text, he says, opened the doors of paradise for him. And it not only changed his life, but it changed the entire course of history. The Reformation could be attributed to one monk wrestling with one verse, 1:17, "The righteous shall live by faith." He went on to write a commentary on the book of Romans, and in the preface of it, he wrote, "This epistle is the very purest gospel, and is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word for word by heart, but that it should occupy every Christian every day as daily bread to the soul. It can never be read or pondered too much." And then 200 years later in England, John Wesley reluctantly went to a small Bible study one evening, and there he heard being read aloud Martin Luther's commentary on Romans. And that night, Wesley writes, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for my salvation. And I had an assurance given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." And it was from Wesley's spiritual new birth that came the greatest evangelical awakening in the 18th century in both England and in America. In fact, some historians have said every single revival in history can be linked to this powerful letter of Romans. The great English poet Samuel Coleridge said, "Paul's epistle to the Romans is the greatest piece of literature ever written, the most profound work in existence," and this from a literary giant. John Knox said, "It's unquestionably the most important theological work ever written." And Pastor John Piper, Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, you'll be pleased to know I didn't follow him. He preached 8 years from this book. And he says Romans is the greatest letter ever written in history by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. And William Tyndale believed that every Christian should learn Romans by heart. And my offer of $200 still stands for anyone who will do that. You should want to read the book that has had the greatest impact on mankind, the book most used by God for the transformation of souls. Read it. Listen to it. Play it over and over. There is nothing that you can read that will do more good for your soul and for your life. I commend it to you. And a second reason, Romans answers the most pressing questions that we have about life and about our own lives. What is the condition and destiny of humanity outside of Christ? Are we really all okay, or are we in serious, dire trouble spiritually? What was my own spiritual condition before Christ saved me? What did God do in Jesus Christ to save me from that condition? How did God overcome my stubborn resistance to Him? How did He enable this gift of faith in me? And what's the meaning of this justification of being made right with God by faith? Can a sinner be made right or be justified with a holy God? And more significantly, can a holy God be reconciled to sinners? How should I live now in the light of God's generous gift of grace, this gift of salvation? How does it affect my relationships? How does it affect my home, my work, my life in the community, in the church? How do I live the Christian life? How do I defeat sin? How can I have peace and confidence about the future as I approach the end of my life? Romans is the fullest summary of the greatest realities in the universe, and it dives more deeply into those realities. It plumbs to the depths of our depravity and our sin, and then it lifts us to the highest heights of our salvation. Here is the gospel spelled out. Here is the very power of God for the eternal salvation of our souls. As Augustine heard those children playing, and he overheard them saying, "Take and read, take and read, take and read." They were playing some game, but he didn't know what that was. All he heard was the Holy Spirit saying to him, "Take and read." And he took up and read Romans 13. I commend it to you. Back in June of 2012, Todd and other son Reed and I took an epic road trip from Linden to Anchorage, Alaska. 5 10-hour days, 500 miles a day, 2,500 miles, pedal to the metal. And we took with us the Bible of the Elkan Highway. It's called the Milepost Guide to the Elkan. It is 600 pages, literally mile by mile. Do you know this book, Rich? He's got it. All right. I mean, so literally that I remember reading in it at, I don't know, some mile marker, 1,268. Be sure to wave to Grandma Smith on the porch as you drive by. I mean, I think I might have said something about maybe stopping for pancakes. But that was the detail of this Bible for the Elkan Highway. Well, let me take you on another epic road trip, this one that leads to eternal life. Not 5 days, not 2,500 miles, but five mileposts on this Roman road, as it is often referred to. I put a map to it in your boxes. You've got a little bookmarker with the Roman road on it. Milepost one. Romans 3, 10 and 11. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. And Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Roman road starts at the same starting point for every single person. We are all sinners and we are all in need of salvation. We're all guilty of sin against the one holy, righteous God. You know that the word gospel means good news, but in order for it to be good news, there has to be some bad news that it's a response to. And this is the bad news: our sin, our unrighteousness that separates us from God. So the Roman road starts full of potholes and washed out pavement and impassable conditions. This is the human problem, sin. Milepost two, the wages of sin is death. Or 5:12. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. When sin entered the world, so did death. Death is the price, the consequence of sin. And that should get our attention. This should get our attention about how serious sin is. It is the cause of all the death in our world, all the evil. We deserve both physical death in this life and spiritual death in the life to come. God is God. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. He's perfect and just. He must be true to himself and punish sin and disobedience. The sense of justice that we all have in ourselves, that we feel it from day to day, when something is just or it's unjust, that sense that we have comes from God. It's his sense of how things are to be. If God didn't punish sin, he would be unjust. Milepost three. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or again from Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Romans explains this mess that we're in, and we are in such a mess that if we are to be saved, God is going to have to do it. And this is the realization that Martin Luther finally came to understand. There is one hope, one solution, one road out of our problem. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, coming to earth, dying for our sins on the cross. And because he was without sin, because he was perfect, because he was innocent of what he was charged of and killed for, his death fully paid for all of our sins, and it is what secures our salvation. He fully paid the debt we owe, and God accepted his payment in full. The very fact that Jesus was resurrected by God proves that God accepted his death as payment for the sins. If God hadn't accepted it, Jesus would still be dead. So while we were unlovable, while we were unworthy, while we were lost and far from God, God moved toward us even while we were moving away from him. Milepost four. We're making good time. This gift must be accepted. It must be received. There must be a response to it. This is where the rubber meets the road. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then Romans 10, 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you accept this bad news about your condition? Do you believe what God says about you is true? And do you believe that eternal death is a reality that must be honestly faced? Do you accept this good news of the gospel offered to you in Christ Jesus? Jesus asked that same question to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said to Mary and Martha. Do you believe this? And this brings us to milepost 5. By taking these steps, we come to the end of the journey, which is to be reconciled to God, to have peace with God, to have freedom from any fear of death or judgment. This is the reward to those who respond in faith. As we read in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, back to Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is the spectacular news. No more guilt, no more punishment, no more wrath, no more condemnation, eternal life and peace with God. This is the Roman road. I commend it to you, of course, to make that journey, to make that path. And if you have to, in this simple way, help others see the same. It's not complicated. You've got that little card. Pick up some more off the table. Hand them out. From the first sentence in Romans, Paul's opening, Paul, an apostle, set apart for the gospel, to the doxology at the very end, may you now be strengthened by the preaching of my gospel. The whole book is just saturated with gospel. He says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. And why was Paul eager to preach the gospel? Well, because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And why wasn't he ashamed of the gospel? Well, because it's the power of God for salvation. And why is it that? Because the righteousness of God has been revealed. And why is the righteousness of God needed? Because the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. But Romans takes us beyond just that need of salvation. We tend to put gospel, sometimes we think of gospel as just something that, you share with somebody and they're saved and then, okay, we're good and we go on without it. No, the Romans teaches us our daily need for the gospel. Now, too many Christians have a rather incomplete or even defective grasp of it, of what happened to make them a Christian. This miraculous thing to be a Christian. It is my experience in going through Romans and in just knowing the gospel that as I get older, the more the gospel exposes my ungodliness, my unrighteousness, my sin and selfishness, the more it does that, the more profoundly grateful I am for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness that removes God's justified wrath, that reconciles me to Him, that encourages me and strengthens me to defeat that besetting sin that lingers in me. And all of this is cause for worship. It is cause for desire for obedience and faith. It is cause to respond to that great therefore in chapter 12. Therefore, by the mercies of God, by the astounding grace of God that is poured out on us, I urge you, Paul says, to surrender your lives, to sacrifice your lives as a living sacrifice to God, which is holy, pleasing, and acceptable to Him, to give your life over to this great gospel. Friends, Friends, it has been a humbling blessing to preach these 16 chapters that have so powerfully been used by God in the history of the church. And it's my prayer that they have been and will continue to be used by Him to make you rich in God's Word and to change you by it. May you love Jesus more than ever. Romans makes much of Jesus, and we would do well to do the same. Have you experienced this saving power? Because of God's abounding grace, will you give your life over to Him in worship, in obedience, in service? Will you be gripped by the gospel? Not just to be saved, but to live each day in the freedom of it, in the joy that it gives, in the peace, and in the faith that it gives you to face whatever challenge, whatever obstacle, whatever is ahead, and to face, finally, death. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Sola Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory, now and to the very day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, we humble ourselves before You and Your holy word and this wise letter given to us as a great gift by Your Holy Spirit through the pen of Your chosen Apostle Paul. Lord, would You be pleased to send Your Spirit upon us to be our teacher, our guide, our help, to open our hearts to see Your wisdom and truth, to grow in the knowledge of Your will, to walk in a manner worthy of You. Fall afresh on this church, I pray, and on each and every one of us for Your glory and for our edification. In the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Savior. Amen.